You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, we are live, everybody. Another UFC event goes down tomorrow in Las Vegas, a big main event in the welterweight division with the returning Leon Edwards taking on Bilal Muhammad as we welcome you to our UFC Vegas 21 preview show here on MMA Fighting. I am Mike Heck. Thank you for joining us. Of course, for those watching, leave your questions, fight you're excited about, your fiery hot takes in the chat, and we will get to them shortly. But I can't do this alone. I won't. I refuse to. And luckily, I'm being joined by the whole crew here. First off, the BTL champion, host of the A-side, Jose Youngs. There he is. Overhead bicep pose and all. The Prince of Positivity, the co-host of On to the Next One, Alex Kaylee. Stone-faced. Happy birthday, AK, as always. And, of course, the man in the truck on the ones and twos, the baddest stash in MMA media, E. Casey Lydon. Excellent. Well, we have some things to discuss. We kind of waxed poetically on this very topic that I'm going to bring up to Jose before we hit record. So I'm going to begin with you, Jose. In my eyes, the UFC 259 hangover is real, and it has lasted a long time, and it still is lingering on. And so much happened on that event, both great. I think the unfortunate sort of outweighed the great in terms of this hangover 6 days ago. But in your opinion, just seeing what you see, how much has the aftermath of this past Saturday sort of affected the buzz heading into tomorrow night?
I think it's a little bit of a combination of a few things. I think if it was still the Khamzat show, I think that's what we'd be talking about a lot. But the fact that Leon Edwards is fighting someone that's not in the top five obviously sucks a lot of the wind out the rest of the card. There are obviously fun fights and fun fighters and fun matchups that we're all obviously looking forward to. But if we're looking at a fight night as a whole in terms of big drawing power, a lot of fun storylines and stuff, it's not that stacked. And it's we said this conversation we're having is the same conversation we had after UFC 257. The same one we had after UFC 200, the same one we had after UFC 229, like the hangover from these massive fight cards into the next fight night, it's a little rough. And sometimes it even drags on, like between UFC 200 and then UFC 201. UFC 201 was what, in Atlanta? It was the flyweight championship. Like Rose Namajunas fought on the card. No, it wasn't the flyweight championship. That was supposed to be on. I think that was Woodley Lawler. And we were still just talking about UFC 200. So this is nothing new. The fact that we saw something that had never happened before in the history of the UFC and a changing of a title by disqualification doesn't help, because like we were all saying, like before we went on air, we all expected Amanda Nunes to win. The main event was a fun fight, but it didn't have any big moments that kind of Jan and Israel Adesanya have showed over the years, like Jan with his knockouts and his Polish power and all that. And then Izzy, just there was no signature moment. In the main event, signature moment of the entire event was an illegal knee, and then something we've never seen before. So it doesn't surprise me. It just feels like UFC 259 fight week just never ended, especially because I drove home from Las Vegas and then just got right back into it. So that one day between working, I just spent driving through a desert. So all the days just blend together for me at this point.
AK, we've sort of touched on this kind of thing throughout the week. Honestly, it's hard being the event leading into a pay-per-view that has a lot of intrigue, and it's really hard being the event coming out of a storyline filled event like UFC 259, but somebody's got to do it. And we got Leon Edwards finally returning. Like Jose said, he's not fighting Khamzat Chimaev. He's taking on a surging up and comer, a man who has just been looking for an opportunity to shine for many years in Bilal Muhammad. And just to kind of put Leon Edwards' layoff into context, Nate Diaz has fought twice since we saw Leon Edwards defeat Rafael dos Anjos. So that should sort of put everything into perspective here as to how long Leon Edwards has been away. Bilal Muhammad is 3-0 since we last saw Leon Edwards compete as well. This is a big one for both guys, AK. So I'm curious your thoughts on the fight, and how much do you feel the difference in activity can play in this one?
First off, I have to tell Casey, apparently we have an extra E in our YouTube title. It says stream. which is great, which I think is sick.
That's not a typo.
That's not a typo.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
You know,
like, so just to clarify, this is our live stream.
Tell the person to refresh because I'm pretty sure I fixed that right before you went.
Okay. I see it fixed.
We threw some extra
Thank you.
In there just for them.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I think the laugh matters a lot, especially when we're talking about a guy like Bilal Muhammad, who's known for a nonstop pace, who's not going to give you a second to breathe. I think it makes a big difference. Now, I mean, a guy like Leon, part of the reason that Leon had a layoff was there was a bout with COVID-19, this horrible virus that we still don't know the effect it's having on some fighters. Jose mentioned Khamzat. Of course, Khamzat's been completely out of action. It's wiped him out. It's ruined his attempts at training, or vice versa. Maybe he shouldn't be training, and it's made things worse. But Kevin Holland had it. He kind of shrugged it off. But again, we don't know. Is that real? Is it just machismo? And countless others have been diagnosed with it. And we don't know. Cody Garbrandt had it really bad too. So we don't know with Leon Edwards how much it's going to affect him. But he's going to need his cardio to be in tip-top shape. Has not been an issue in the past. But like we said, coming off a very, very long layoff and having this bout of COVID-19 and facing a guy like Muhammad who's going for five rounds is going to just take it to you. I mean, he could be down on the scorecards and he's going to look the same as he did in rounds 1, 2, and 3, unless Edwards, manages to significantly hurt him. But this will be Edwards' first fight in over 600 days. And I don't see how that can't have some sort of effect on his performance on Saturday night.
Casey, what do you think of the layoff for Edwards, how that could affect him against a guy like Bilal and just the matchup in general?
I think since Leon Edwards has been in multiple training camps this whole time, and as far as we know, his COVID case wasn't, it was more just kind of put him on the shelf for a couple months. Wasn't like, we had like the long-term effects, thankfully. And first off, man, not enough is being said about the health of Shamayev. I know a lot of it's just unknown right now, but like that is serious stuff, and I really hope. I mean, yeah, we can talk about, was he overhyped and all that crap, but the dude is still just a guy just, trying to make a living and trying to, make his dreams come true in the sport. So, like, I just really hope, he recovers fine. Mm-hmm. And I hope everything's fine. I'm just, that really kind of really bumps me out because I was really looking forward. I mean, I didn't like the matchup because I thought Edwards had deserved better in terms of ranking. But, it just really sucks. But as for Leon Edwards, I think he'll be fine. Bahal isn't a guy that comes out and knock you out in the first round, which I think for Edwards, both of them are kind of real. They keep a steady pace. They're not big finishers. They just kind of both fight smart and, conserve their energy strategically and don't kind of, blow their load in the first minute. So I actually don't think it's going to be as serious an issue as it could be.
Right now, Leon Edwards, the -240 favorite, the comeback on Bilal, remember the name Muhammad, is +220. Thoughts on the betting line, Jose? You and I have talked about this fight a couple of different times now, but your thoughts on the betting line and Leon being a little over a 2-1 favorite here?
I'm not the person to ask when it comes to gambling and betting and all that stuff, but those seems fine to me. But Leon is clearly a top 5, top 3 welterweight in the world. Bilal Muhammad could be, but we just don't know just because he's in that same category that Beneil Dariush had been kind of venting his frustrations on, where he's clearly a high risk, low reward fighter. So he's just not getting the opportunities that everyone agrees he should be getting because he's not the flashiest. He's not the biggest trash talker. So he could be, we just don't know. Also, he's taking this fight on a quick turnaround. He just fought in February. Now he's fighting in March. He's now fighting a 5-round fight. So if he had a full camp and he was coming off a blistering knockout victory and he's looked better than ever, then I'm sure the lines would be a lot closer. But again, Bilal Muhammad had a full camp. And then who did he fight last? Diego Lima. Yeah. And it was a 3-round decision win. It was a dominant decision win. But I think if it was this big, spectacular finish, I'm sure the lines would be a lot closer than it is. But I don't think Bilal Muhammad doesn't strike me as a type of man who kind of gets upset over the betting lines going into his fight.
All right, AK, let's get to what the people are here for. Your pick. The preview the predictions article that's going to drop tomorrow morning. What do we got? Who wins? Who gets their hand raised?
I was wrong about 259. I predicted the 259 main event. I did predict an Adesanya win. So that broke my streak, I think, of one of one successful main event pick. So let's get that streak going again. Leon Edwards. It's Leon Edwards, right? I'm going to be safe here. I like the 2-1 line. I think it's fair. Again, I don't recommend gambling on MMA, as everyone knows. But if you have to, I don't think 220 is unreasonable. I would take him as 2-1. I just think he's a more skilled fighter. I think he's a more skilled fighter. He's more well-rounded. I think he's fought better competition. Again, the ring rust and tangibles that we discussed, that's an issue. I mean, that for sure is something that you should take into account before making your own picks at home. For, again, not gambling, just making your own picks, playing the family game at home. I think he's a better striker, a better grappler. I think he's a more technical fighter, a little more experienced. I just like Edwards to win a decision here. I don't think it has to be an easy fight. I think Bilal could certainly take a round, maybe two. But I do think Edwards will look good in his return. I don't expect a major, major, major drop off. Again, he might fight a little bit safer than people want him to. But again, that's when you're coming off a layoff this long, and you're on an 8-fight win streak, you just do what you got to do to keep winning. So I'll go Edwards by decision.
Get those questions in.
Oh, go ahead. Edwards by pullet. I'm sorry, I forgot. I forgot our
See the whole event happens. We forget about the bop it references when it comes to these fights. So there you go.
Respect the raging panda.
Yes, respect the raging panda, Julia Avila, who was kind enough to join us on the pre-fight show last week before UFC 259. Maybe she's the jinx. Maybe it's her fault that this event went down the way it did, and we're still talking about
it. Don't you dare.
I'm just kidding, Julia. We love Julia here. Leave your predictions for the main event, your thoughts on the card. We'll get to those in a minute. But Jose, your thoughts on this main event tomorrow. Who wins? Who gets the job done? Who do you see moving on to bigger and better things?
Normally I go with the active fighter, the one that's been the most active, but I still favor Leon Edwards just because I thought Gunnar Nelson was going to beat him. I thought the Rafael Dos Anjos fight would be a lot closer. It just seems like every time I think fights are going to be either close or Leon is probably going to come up short, he proves me wrong. He dubbed himself Left Elbow Larry after Michael Bisping's Left Hook Larry, and I just think that's going to and again, with Bilal Muhammad just talking about all the pressure he brings and all this, that is going to play right into Leon Edwards' game. He wants to get in close with you. He wants to clinch up to throw those elbows. So I actually do favor Leon. I think Bilal is a fantastic fighter. If this was a full camp Bilal, it'd probably be a different story. I just think Leon Edwards is going to top three, top two welterweights in the world right now. But I think Bilal is fantastic. I just favor Leon Edwards. And I'm picking him by decision. I think it's going to be a bloody fight, but not one of those like back and forth wars. I just think someone's going to get gashed open. One of the men is going to get gashed open, and I still think Leon's going to win.
Casey Lydon, what do you think?
I got Edwards, unanimous decision. He'll probably win. I think he'll win 4 to 5 rounds. I think Leon Edwards is, despite what Muhammad says, I do actually think Leon Edwards is better at pretty much everything than Muhammad is. God, I hope he doesn't hear this. He seems like such a nice guy. But, I just think Leon is a better fighter. And unless there was a serious fall off in his skills of the layoff, And unless Muhammad in the last 2 weeks made a giant jump in his MMA skills, I feel this is a pretty solid pick for Edwards. If it was a 3-round fight, though, I would give Bilal a better chance. But I think over 5 rounds, even starting a little rusty for Edwards, I think he'll take over and he'll win the fight by decision. Will it be impressive? That's another story.
This one I've been teetering back and forth on, and I'll tell you why. It's not because of skill set. It's not because of breaking down tape or anything like that. The MMA gods are going to be tested on Saturday because they were pretty pissed off in the first of 3 title fights. They came around in the final 2 title fights, and the way that UFC 259 ended, it was like everything was in good karmic rhythm, right? So 2 things can happen here. And first of all, I just want to say, I believe that the lines, the betting odds, are right where they need to be. But I also believe that Bilal Muhammad is a super live underdog here. And he has nothing to lose in this fight. Absolutely nothing. This is a house money fight for Bilal Muhammad. He's coming in. He's doing the UFC a favor. He can't lose much unless he just gets knocked out in 30 seconds. So if the MMA gods are in the right place, delivering good rhythm to the MMA world and doing what is supposed to be done, Leon Edwards will have the best performance of his career, and he will stop Bilal Muhammad early. And I think Leon Edwards is a great fighter, and he could do that. He should have fought for a world title by now. But every year in the UFC, somebody comes along and shakes up the foundation. And you know what? My gut tells me that it's going to happen here. Bilal Muhammad, who I thought could be that guy for years now, finally gets his chance to do it. He's been waiting for this opportunity for years. He gets it. I think he does it. I think it's a close competitive fight. I think it's really close down the stretch. This is a game of inches, and I think that's what this is going to be. I think Bilal gets it done. He wins a very, very close decision, maybe a split. I think he gets the biggest win of his career, and the MMA gods are going to be pissed. It's going to go back to where they normally are because poor Leon Edwards, who's deserved a title shot, who's deserved massive fights for years now, it's going to be a letdown for him, and I feel for the man. I feel for the man. I'm probably wrong on this one. I like to take chances every now and then and put myself out there, put my heart on my sleeve, so to speak, because that's how I view these fights. But we'll see what happens. I think we will remember the name come tomorrow night. AK has got his hands on his face.
My goodness. What a predict. You took us on a journey. Mike, you don't know what you said. You know, regular listeners of on to the next one are used to being taken on these journeys. Sometimes you break it on the preview show, but you really took us on a journey there. And some were unexpected and wonderful, but I just did not expect that. On Topology, I know, Casey, you prefer the predictions over the odds. It's over way more than the equivalent of 2-1. It is 83% Edward.
As it should be.
83% for Edward. Wow, that's way more than 2-1. That's way more than plus. So the hardcores on Topology are much, much more in favor, heavily, heavily in favor of Leon Edwards. With, so, wow. 83%.
75% of those picking Edwards predicting a decision victory.
Yes. Which I think is accurate. Yeah.
I think we all went with two.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't realize. Wow.
But before we move on to any other wonderful fights on the card, who were we picking for Edwards over Chimaev? If in a perfect world where they come in healthy.
Jose, you want to go first?
I don't know, man.
There you go.
Leon.
I would have picked
Leon's, yeah. Leon's actually fought a welterweight before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
I would have went Leon too.
That's Hamzat.
You heard the door. Yeah, seriously. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Scared the hell out of me.
What is it called when with the gamers they caught the swatting? You just get swatted when they caught the gamers?
Probably.
That's too funny.
By the way, I know we don't want.
I'm gonna go see what banged on my door.
Yeah, go ahead. Maybe do that. Take a second there because I'm gonna take us on a little tangent. I don't know if any of you guys have seen. I don't want to turn this to Hamzat chat, but like his social media, he's like wiped it of all that stuff. I might retire. Like that post is gone. Plus a lot of older posts is gone. It's a very like fishy situation. I do feel like management was involved. Obviously, there's a political influence there. And now it looks like it's like he's only has a handful of Instagram posts now, and it's all just very non sort of. Opinionated stuff. It's just like I love fighting and I love my family, and like that's it. That's all that's on there now. So there was a stretch there where he was being very candid about his training. Obviously, you know, of course, that big COVID post. That's all gone now. That's all gone. So
it sounds like read those messages. Maybe you'll find some secret like no SOSs or like you know
help Casey, me yeah
no help symbol Casey, or whatever
Casey.
Yes, sir.
I'm seeing YouTube comments saying your audio is a little low.
Really?
Is it that low?
It's a little lower compared to the rest.
It's lower than us, but it sounds okay to me. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it sounds fine. I just saw like four or five just saying slightly.
Yeah. I see the comments, yeah.
Oh, you know what? This low knob can be turned more. There we go.
There we go. Wow.
Whoa.
Jose, was everything okay with Hamzat? Did you talk it over? Did you guys talk it over? And
yeah, apparently he left this box of graphic novels for me too that I had been expecting. So what a nice man.
It's all patched up.
See, he's not training and he's catching up on all those, you know, graphic novels, you know, he's missing out on.
He's like, wow, Jose ordered this omnibus of Strangers in Paradise. Maybe I should deliver it for him.
Oh man. Well, that main event should be fun. Graphic novels. The new podcast with Jose and Hamzat Chimaev should be a lot of fun. Look for that in the near future.
Don't tease me.
I know. rest of the main card, it's pretty fun. Co-main event, we got Misha Serkinov versus Ryan Spann. Of course, Spann had a brief hiccup on the scale this morning, but he made it on a second attempt. Dan Ige versus Gavin Tucker is a really fun fight. I'm looking forward to that. Dan Ige's last fight before he enters the world of fatherhood, embracing that grind. We got Jonathan Martinez versus Davey Grant. That should be fun at 135. We got Mateus Nicolau versus Manel Cape at 125. And the main card opener, Darren Stewart versus Eric your boy Anders. 13 fights total. Prelims kick off at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Main card takes place at 8 p.m. Eastern time, all on ESPN Plus. Let's turn it over to the peeps, Casey. Let's go to the wonderful viewers. Let's see what they think about this card tomorrow.
I want to say about this card. I know it seems like people were kind of crapping on this card, but like I think for a fight night card, I dig it. I think it's exactly what it is. Of the 13 fights, 12 of the, I'm not gonna say the fight I'm not interested in, but 12 of these 13 fights, I'm like, I want to know the result. I am interested in at least on one half of that card. So, a lot of negativity for this card, and we lost Ben Rothwell. That's so sad. I'm so excited. Wow. That is
former co-host of the A side. Yeah, Ben Rothwell.
He is such a. Hold on. You know what? I didn't. Oops. Oh no.
Wrong oh thing. No. Let's you're trying
no.
too much.
Oh no. What is happening?
Casey, Daniel Hamilton.
Where'd I go?
Your Casey, volume is Casey died. Perfect. It says your volume is perfect in all caps. So well done.
Hamzat you hit it. Came.
Hamzat is making the rounds right now.
Hamzat's in the truck.
My camera died.
Your camera died?
Hold on a second.
Do you want me to read out one of these questions? Do you want me to grab a question, Casey?
I think you're going to throw up anyway. I still got a question. Here we go. Boom.
Go for it. There we go. That's what I thought.
All right. AK's best friend. Thoughts on Manel Cape's short notice return against Mateus Nicolau? Second time's the charm. AK, we'll start with you on that one.
Are we talking about second time's the charm for Manel Cape or for Mateus Nicolau? Because this is the second time for both. Oh, you see what I did?
Oh, boom.
I do want to say first for a lot of people that don't remember that Nicolau was with the UFC a few years ago and was very good. I mean, he was 3-0 before getting knocked out by Dustin Ortiz. He had a win over Smoka, Luis Smoka veteran, John Moraga, who had fought for the UFC flyweight title. Really good fighter. And it's just, he just got, after that knockout loss, there were just, you know, cutting flyweights for no reason. They said this guy's coming off a loss and we're gonna get rid of him. Dustin Ortiz was gone soon after, so that whole thing was just a mess. So he went in the regional scene, got a couple of wins, and I think he's a really tough opponent for Cape, especially on short notice. Of course John is referring to this Cape being his second fight he's taken out on short notice after that loss to Pantoja, where I think it was definitely a little disappointing, both for people who had never seen him before and for people who were seeing him for the first time. Because for those of us who had seen him before, I think we all thought if he didn't beat Pantoja, he would at least put on like sort of a more aggressive, exciting performance. And he looked a little gun shy at times, a little unsure of how to operate inside the octagon. So that was disappointing. And of course, if you hadn't seen him fight before, UFC had given this guy a little bit of hype, more hype than they probably given most flyweights. And you probably watched the fight and were like, this guy, like, I don't understand what's the big deal. So it was a really tactical battle, again, which people maybe didn't expect. And he lost a pretty clear decision, in my opinion. So I do think this is, go ahead, Casey.
Wait, people were bummed out about, we thought Pantoja was awesome. So he lost a very competitive fight to a very, very good fighter. So why are people hating on Cape now? I don't get it.
I think people were rightfully critical of him sort of looking a little hesitant to pull the trigger. He was doing a little bit of showboating as well. You know, he's a stylish guy. He's a showman. He's doing a little bit of showboating. He was losing. He was losing, Casey. That's what was wrong. You can showboat all you want if you're winning. If you're losing, which I think a lot of
us, that is not a rule. That is not a rule. You can only showboat
when
you're
winning. That's
not a rule. You showboat when you showboat, man. That's how you do it.
You showboat when you showboat, and then you lose, and you criticize for it. Michelle Pajeda. I love Michelle Pajeda. I love Michelle Pajeda. How much crap does that guy take? He showboats all the time and he loses, right? I mean, I'm reflecting the will of the people. I'm not saying I agree. But yeah, no, I think he'll do better this time around. I think there's a very good chance he goes 0-2 in the UFC. I think Nicolau's super tough. But if I'm picking, second time is the charm. I think he's going to get that knockout he's been hunting for.
All right, Casey, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I thought his first fight was a competitive fight, and he didn't, you know, for Manel Cape, he didn't, you know, he just, like I said, didn't kind of go all out and stuff. But, yeah, he was, but also, Manel Cape was out for like a year or two when he took that last fight. Now he's got a 15 minutes and a cage experience, and I think this is going to be the Manel Cape has advertised. When was the last time Nicolau fought in the UFC? It's been a while, right?
2018.
Three years.
Yeah.
Two and a half.
Yeah, when I saw his image of him during the media day, I'm like, oh, I remember that guy. I can't tell you anything about him. I knew he was good, but I can't remember anything about him from 3 years ago.
He was, and for whatever reason, AK referred to Brave CF as the regional scene, even though it's not. He was supposed to fight Shorty Torres in March last year when COVID hit. Remember we had him, and then he was in the middle of camp, and then his fight got canceled, and we brought him back that week to give reactions.
Oh, this was the opponent? This was the opponent?
Yeah. It was supposed to be Nicolau versus Shorty was the first round of that flyweight tournament they kept hyping up. And they brought back all the flyweights pretty much they cut except for Shorty, which is unfortunate.
All right. Great fight. It's not short notice for Nicolau, right? Who was the original opponent?
No.
He was Ulanbekov. Aguirre Ulanbekov.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Cape should be good. I'm excited about the fight, and I hope all the hype I've been kind of spewing about Manoel Cape, we'll see if it comes true this Saturday.
I'm gonna pick Nicolau just to be different.
By submission.
Oh,
whoa!
Dang,
Nicolau is a legit black belt. Like, Manoel Cape is awesome, and I think he's fantastic. But I think it's going to be one of those things where he just might not be a top five flyweight, or he might just be the fifth best flyweight. I just think this fight is super close to me. But I'm going to just be different and pick Nicolau just so we're not all agreeing with each other.
I don't know where I'm going with this. I think Nicolau is the better fighter. I think he's more well-rounded than Manoel Cape. I think he has more ways to win this fight. However, Nicolau is as good as he is. His kryptonite is his chin. He gets clipped and he gets dropped very easily. Even in the Dustin Ortiz fight, if you watch that fight pretty closely,
he got knocked dead.
Yeah. And it looked like he partially blocked the kick too, which is crazy. So he is kind of chinny. And that's what would scare me if you're on Team Nicolau, because Manel just needs one. He just needs one shot to turn his lights out. But if he can not get knocked out, I think he wins this fight. But that's a big if, because Manel brings that thunder. So,
dude, I didn't realize he hasn't fought since August 30th of 2019.
Yeah.
Too.
Woo, it's like Jose said, he was supposed to fight Shorty.
Yeah. So
last year, he has
a lot of big breaks for these, like Edwards, Mattel.
And they're all COVID related. They're all like they've had fights booked since. They just haven't been able to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Mike, you're saying either Nicolau by pull it or Cape by bop it.
Correct. I think it's I'm trying to remember which one was which, but
I know,
Nicolau by decision. It'll be Nicolau by decision or Cape pull it, stops him. There's
that's a bop it. Yeah,
that's a bop it.
There you go. That's a good fight. I like it. It's like the big. I think it's one of the closest lined fights on the card. So it's a good one. Cape needs this one badly, though.
I would agree.
See, these are the kind of questions that I like, because now we can dig deep. What fight are you most excited for, Jose Youngs? I mean, obviously the main event's got the storylines and the pizzazz, but outside of that, as a fan of high level martial arts as you are, and I know we don't get too excited until both men are in the octagon and we get introductions at this point. We've learned that at this point on these here preview streams. But what fight, all things considered, perfect world, all these fights go down tomorrow. What's the one you're most excited for?
I'm just looking at the card now. I always really like watching Charles Jourdain fight, and his opponent Rojo is like, he's a Combate alum. He's supposed to fight Jaime Barcelo, so anyone that's getting matched up with him, I was really looking forward to Jaime Barcelo's fight, especially against Rojo. So it's just unfortunate that fight fell apart. So I like Charles Jourdain a lot. I think he's super underrated and super exciting. He's also a fellow nerd. And if you ask him anything about World of Warcraft, he'll talk to you for about an hour. And I love fighters like that. Other than that, Courtney Casey, Phoenix alum, or Glendale, Scottsdale alum, JJ Aldridge is a fun scrap. Always interested to see Jin Yu Fry fight. Ronnie Yaya, who's, of course, one of the most high-level black belts in the world. Because remember when, speaking of Shorty, remember when he was like preparing for his last fight and his striking? His main sparring partner for striking was Edson Barbosa. And then his main grappling training partner was Ronnie Yaya.
And he was like, so I'm basically getting drowned or just beat to death with elbows. So like pick your poison. So yeah, those are some of the big ones. And then I guess if you like weird, quirky fighters, Jonathan Martinez is awesome, both in and outside of the octagon. I imagine his post-fight scrum, if he wins, will last at most 90 seconds. But other than that, there's obviously other ones I would say, but I'll let you guys talk about them because I don't want to just say all of the fights.
Casey, I already know it's Manel K for you, but outside of that one.
I'm still a big believer in Misha Cirkunov. I think he's awesome. If you get a chance to stand next to that man, he's just intimidating. He really is. He's a guy who probably says like 10 words the whole day, you know. So I'm still a believer in him. I know he had kind of a good streak. Then he took some losses, but I just like that fight. I don't know how good Ryan Spann is, and I think we're going to find out. Like Jose said, I love Jonathan Martinez because he's such a weirdo and just kind of goes again.
Is a gangster too. Like,
oh, I know he's a gangster. But you see, like,
ask him about his fight career. He's like, I've been in a ton of street fights, and I was like, caught me off guard.
I love that dude. Like, you know, he looks like that guy you like a bully would pick on, and he's like, and New Martinez just like, come on, someone pick on me, because I got to show these martial arts skills off. You know, so you just need someone to touch him first. So I just like Jonathan Martinez because he's like, you know, the original UFC logo guy, the big muscle guy on the planet punching it or holding the planet. I don't know how it looked like, but like, I mean, I just imagine Jonathan Martinez being that first UFC guy, you know, the logo guy. I love Angela Hill, Yoder, just because I love striker grappler fights. And Ronnie Yaya is always fun to watch. I just love when he jumps on someone's back and they just go like this for like 15 minutes trying to get him off. So good fights. I'm excited about them all.
AK, which sticks out to you?
I'm also excited about Charles Jourdain, of course, from La Belle Provence in Canada. So shout outs to Montreal. And also the guy who's fighting Rojo. There's a double dose of Combate America's debuts here, Rojo. And then I also want to talk about Rafa Garcia in a second. But Rojo, this guy does not go to decisions. He hasn't gone to one in almost 9 years. So someone's probably getting smoked in that fight. Maybe him. But that's okay. That's, you know, again, that's sort of the, I think he's going to come in swinging, which is what Dana White's going to like. As for Garcia, this guy, well, this is interesting. He's undefeated. He just beat a UFC veteran in Roberto Bandanai, Combate America's lightweight champion, really exciting fighter. He finishes fights too, 12-0, 8 finishes. But the other thing I love about this fight with Nasrat Haqparast is this is a mutant matchup, which means it's a fight that was originally something else entirely. It was two other fighters entirely, and then both fighters replaced someone, and for some reason, other than as opposed to just rebooking the fight for another card, they're like, yeah, let's just make two guys fight on short notice for no reason. So this was originally Guram Kutatlatse versus Don Madge. Kutatlatse withdrew, got a knee injury. So Hack pressed up in on about 1 month's notice, so not too bad. And then Madge withdrew recently because of visa issues, and now and Rafa Garcia stepping in for him on less than a week's notice. Why? 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 I mean, both guys want to do it. That's great. They both may wait. It's cool. I'm excited. It's a cool fight. We couldn't have pushed this back one more week. Isn't there another fight night card next week? We couldn't have pushed this back. Like, but anyway, so I'm excited for that. I'm always like these weird mutant matchups that weren't even supposed to exist, and then people stepped in and made a completely new fight entirely.
I mean, for me, it's Ige, Gavin Tucker. That's a great matchup. I mean,
another Canadian.
I know. It's supposed to be Ige, Ryan Hall. I know Casey and AK are very upset about this, but
Danny Ige gets to live really another day.
John Jones is going to fight at heavyweight before Ryan Hall has another fight. That's what's going to happen.
Probably.
Ooh, that's some big.
Sorry
words.
About it.
John Jones is going to fight. This is news.
Yeah, just like whenever Ryan Hall signs a contract for a fight, you're like, "Wow, Ryan Hall made it. This is news." Come on, like he's an awesome fighter, but let's see him fight first.
Yeah, everyone's ducking him. Everyone. I mean, like they're sneaking people into the gym and hurting him.
Ryan Hall's ducking himself. He's like, I don't want to hurt these guys.
That's how good he is.
Go out for the 1,000th time.
Yeah.
He keeps having second thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to embarrass this man in front of anyone, even though I asked for a top 10 fighter. I got a top 10 fighter. Might as well pull out again. To so they don't get embarrassed.
Wow.
He heard Ige was about to become a father, and he's like, "Well, I'm not gonna, I'm not going to let this child grow up without without a father. So I didn't know. He was about to become a dad.
Ricardo Lamas retired, so he wouldn't have to get rematched with Ryan Hall.
Correct.
Now you're just proving their points. You're boosting up their arguments, Jose.
Yeah.
Good God.
Of course I am. Ryan Hall pulls out. So
these aren't arguments. These are facts. These are just facts.
Does Ryan Hall
only
speak
in facts?
Yeah.
Does Ryan Hall get injured? No. Nope. Does he pull out of fights because he's hurt? No. Does he call out fighters in the top 10 and pull out of fights? No. It's always to save face. The other guy can save face. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. True martial artist.
Right.
Fair enough. Dan Ige's child will thank Ryan Hall.
Yeah, someday.
As you do.
We should all. I mean, the rest of the questions are just us thanking Ryan Hall. But I'm gonna. So, guys, stop submitting all the Ryan Hall questions. You know, we'll have a whole podcast about Ryan
Hall
coming out soon.
If we're being honest, we're not. Ryan Hall pulled out of this fight not to save Dan Ige face. He's like, well, Rani Yahya is already on the prelims. We don't need two amazing grapplers, and I'll let Rani Yahya have the spotlight this time. So, all praise Ryan Hall for pulling out again to save to save face, but to give the spotlight to another grappler. Right.
I don't want to send Jose on another rant after that one. But Casey, can I read one comment that's clearly only he will understand? I mean, I vaguely understand it, but it's truly Dragon Ball related. Prince Vegeta-san says Rani Yahya is like Jiatsu when he latches onto someone's back. Jiatsu's that little ghost like guy, right? And he blows up and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's how I know him. Person. Yeah.
Well, he looks like a Chinese ghost. He looks like a Chinese ghost. Like he's designed. Like I don't know. He's not a ghost.
Well,
he's designed like a.
It's Japanese, but yes.
Yeah, but a lot of Dragon Ball is based on Chinese. You know this. I don't need to explain this to you. You know this. Yeah. But is that? Yeah. Wait. Does that comparison make sense? Rani Yahya is like Jiatsu when he latches on.
They're both smaller than because Rani Yahya is not the biggest bantamweight in the world. Like he's very he's skinny and it works to his advantage. So. Yes, you're not wrong, Prince Vegeta-san.
All right.
What else we got?
Oh, I just want to say, too, we talked about it real quick. Man, what a must-win situation, though, Jin Yu Fry is in. Lost her first two fights. I mean, she's coming up from 105. Her last fight, I would say it was a bit of a disappointing performance against Lomo. Who is also part of 105er fighting at strawweight. So considering her age, two-fight losing streak, I hope Jin Yu Fry didn't make that jump to the UFC too late in her career because I think she's an excellent fighter, but she has to win tomorrow. So just want to add if a little more pressure on Jin Yu Fry. I'm sure she appreciates that.
That's real talk. Again, we've seen a lot of the cuts that have happened recently. We just saw Shauna Dobson and Espinosa. So certainly one more loss for she would be winless, right? That'd be 0-3, I think. That's a cut. Yeah,
When she was the 105 champ in Invicta, she got stripped for missing weight as the reigning champion. It's like
she's having trouble making 105 still. I was thinking, oh man, maybe she go to one and go to that the atom weight tournament and one. But I think Jin Yu Fry is kind of. I don't think she can make 105 healthy anymore. Yeah. So must win for Jin Yu Fry. I love her as a fighter. So I hope she has a good performance. If she, we'll see what happens.
She's got her hands full.
Yes, sir.
Glorida Paola. Gavin Tucker versus Dan Ige. Man, this is a really good fight. I got to see what the betting lines look like for this one. Dan Ige -145, Gavin Tucker +135. I think that's properly lined. I'm leading Dan Ige by decision.
Yeah. Dan Ige is awesome.
Good fight, though. Yeah, well. Good opportunity for awesome. Gavin Tucker.
Yeah,
Dan Ige takes issue with people saying favorite for fight of the night too. He's like that means you think this fight's going to be close. And when he told me that, I thought it was an amazing answer. That was before that was in Houston when we interviewed him before his Mirsad fight. I go, I looked on Twitter and everyone's circling this as fight of the night. He goes, that's weird. This isn't going to be close.
He's a funny guy.
He's so serious.
I think I'll pick Tucker. I'll go with my kid. Normally, by nature, I don't pick Canadians. I don't want to jinx them. Not that I believe in that sort of thing. Of course, jinxes don't exist. But
you're like the opposite of Gui. He only picks Brazilians.
I'm gonna be patriotic this time. I'm a believer in the whatever the new Gavin Tucker or whatever you want to call it, the revitalized Gavin Tucker. I'm a believer in it. Yeah, I love that Quarantillo performance. So yeah, you know, I'll say Tucker.
I'm going Tucker with the upset.
Nope. I like how Ige's like the one thing that excited him the most about this fight is that he's like the bigger fighter for the first time in his career.
He's been so successful. He's been so successful being the shorter guy. So we'll see. Why change it, man?
Did you see that dad strength already?
Ige was saying that Tucker's better than Ryan Hall. This is going to be a tougher fight than Ryan Hall. What a crazy man, Dan Ige.
He can talk all he wants now. It's not booked.
Yeah.
I would do this.
Now he's brave. No.
Yeah, I'd probably start talking like that.
Actually, this is going to be probably the big storyline coming out of Saturday night. It's
Bilal is playing with house money. Is a shot at Kamaru Usman on the line for the winner? I would say
for one,
no. I would say no, unless if Leon goes out and wins a decision, no. But if Leon stops, if the MMA gods, like I said earlier, are in the right place mindset wise, and things that are supposed to happen actually happen, Leon Edwards will get a stoppage win and be in a good position. I still think Masvidal is going to somehow get that fight, but to be kind of on deck, very possible here. Blah. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I would say 60-40. I don't know. Anyone have like a better answer than I do? I'm sitting on that fence right now.
I think if Leon Edwards wins, no matter what, he gets the title shot. Gilbert Burns got a title shot off a decision. Colby Covington got a title shot off a decision. Leon Edwards would be riding what, 8-9 fight win streak. Dana White's already said he's, and like the only opinion that matters, unfortunately, is Dana White, and he's the one already saying it right now. So yeah, if Leon Edwards wins, I would say he gets the title shot because he said he doesn't know what the deal with Colby. I think it's just because also like Casey always says, of Colby Masvidal, Leon Edwards, who's going to be the cheapest to book in a fight? Leon Edwards. Kamar, like Jorge and Colby are probably going to be asking for 7 figures. Leon's not going to be asking for 7 figures. He wants that title shot. And once he gets the belt, then those fights can come. So I think if Leon wins, he gets a title shot.
You know who else won't be asking for 7 figures?
Steven Wonderboy Thompson. Right. That's fine.
True. Well, but that's the thing. I think that's one reason why I think Dan White would. I know he's not all on the Leon Edwards train. Again, his comments about Leon this week were pretty noncommittal. It's like if he does something impressive, he's guaranteed if he does something impressive, which is
that means no.
It means almost nothing, really. But again, it would give him another option, yes, to use, kind of as Jose mentions, to use at the negotiating table. Because clearly he doesn't have the name value of the Jorge Masvidal, Colby Covington, etc. But he's also like not even near the headache that those guys are to deal with. Yes, he's had, you know, his kind of issues with the UFC officials over in the last year with him getting taken out of the rankings, stuff like that. Being a little picky with opponents, but that's fine. That's nothing compared to, again, everything that's going on with Masvidal ever since he became the BMF, ever since the Ben Askren KO, where he's just like, I am above all of, you know, other fighters now. Colby, of course, big personality, knows what he's worth. I'll give him credit for that. He knows what he's worth, and that's not a bad thing. So I'm not criticizing coming in for that. But yeah, Edwards, Dana White always has the option of selling this fight. It's not as big a fight as those fights, but now he can always tell those guys, I don't need you. Edwards, 9 straight wins. A sellable rematch. The first fight was over five years ago, you know, whatever. So we can use it as a storyline, but it doesn't kill the intrigue in a rematch, I don't think. It should only elevate intrigue. So I think he'd be rooting for a Edwards win. I stopped short at saying a title fight is on the line. It's definitely not on the line. Nothing is guaranteed to the winner.
I think with most of Europe still shut down with the pandemic, I think if everything was open in Europe, like they could just go do Usman Edwards at the O2 in London, like in a couple of months, I think there would be a big chance that Edwards could get that title shot. Considering, as far as I remember, because it was a year ago now, they sold out the O2 with Woodley and Edwards as the main event before that got scrapped. Is that right? Woodley and Edwards. So, but I think without the geographical advantages, as far as like, you know, putting butts in seats that Edwards might have, it's going to be hard for him to get a title shot. But like I said, like Jose said too, I think with Edwards winning, it will just bring down the, it'll make it more competitive or who will fight the cheapest, you know, because we got four contenders pretty much, right? Colby, Masvidal, Wonder Boy, and if Edwards wins impressively. So,
it's the Ultimate Fighter too.
Yeah, there is the Ultimate Fighter, and we all want to see Stephen Thompson have the title shot. I just think it will probably be Leon Edwards. And what they should do to just capitalize on the biggest possible fight on planet Earth, which is not in the UFC right now, it's Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury for all of the belts. You have one Nigerian-American champion and one Nigerian-British champion in Anthony Joshua. They're both defending their titles. Then you have Leon Edwards and Tyson Fury from England too. Just have them a week apart, like, especially if they're both going to be in the Middle East, then just there you go, the marketing builds itself. UFC can catapult off of that massive fight, because the rumors are that might happen in Saudi Arabia. If they want to have Usman and Leon Edwards fight in Fight Island to make it easier, so be it. You're welcome, UFC.
I'll tell you what, Leon Edwards needs to spend some time tonight relaxing, maybe surfing YouTube at some of the greatest promos ever presented in combat sports and study those. Maybe pick up some pieces, because I think a lot's going to have to do with what he says on the microphone as well. He needs to come out and Michael Chandler all up in that piece and talk his way into it. He's got hurdles to overcome, but momentum is a tricky thing in MMA. If you can get it, you gotta capitalize on it. So we'll see how Leon Edwards handles himself. If he wins, cuts a scathing promo, and hopefully he does the media rounds right after and stays out in front of this, because the sport changes very rapidly. So we'll see what happens.
It is so amazing how, like, and you're absolutely correct, Mike, but like, you do all this training, all this dieting, all this hard work to get to this point, and you beat this guy in the main event, and then you go, yeah, but what are you going to say in the mic now? You know, it's just like this weird reality we're in. But,
well, it's also like, it's unfortunate, because I'll ask this question to all of you guys. When is the last time you saw Dana White really hyped for one fighter? Just like, I'm going to sell the hell out of this fight, and you got hyped because of it.
Shmaev.
But that was very like, oh, this kid's great, he wants to turn it around, and this and that. Like, that was very much of a product of Shmaev being badass and wanting to turn it around, and Dana White took it and ran with it.
He went on a date. That's, he sat next to him.
I understand. Fight night. I understand. But we saw them sitting next to each other. But did Dana White like scream until his face turned red? The Maymac tour is the last time we really saw Dana pull out the promoter card. Like, Dana White could sell this fight. He didn't even show. He doesn't. I think Dana White has very much kind of stepped back a lot from the last, what, how he used to be, because he didn't show up for flyweight stare down. And then what did he say about Jan and Sterling? What was his reasoning for why that fight is great? Yeah, they're both young in the prime of their careers, and this fight is great. Awful, awful promotion.
It's terrible.
He just put him in his hat. This is any fight.
Nunez and Anderson was like, one of them might knock the other one out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, like, okay.
Dana White could sell the hell out of this fight. Like, a lot of MMA fans crap on boxing. Eddie Hearn, I think, is the best promoter in any promotion right now. That dude can sell anything. And he could sell. I would love to hear how he would sell this fight, especially selling Leon Edwards.
Remember that promo that for Leon Edwards for the Woodley fight?
It's out. It's out again. They
re-released it. They just photoshopped, mm-hmm. Mom's head on it. Cool. Yeah, it's a bummer. I do miss promoter Dana White rather than whatever. I don't know. Yeah,
we're going to
Texas, Dana White. Yeah.
If anyone knows, sees Oscar Willis in the wild, ask him, go up to him and be like, hey, Eddie, sell me on Leon versus Bilal Muhammad, because Oscar Willis does a spot on Eddie Hearn. It's unbelievable. On Fight Island, I would just give him two things. I'm like, sell me on a jellyfish versus a ferret. And he would just like turn into Eddie Hearn and just sell me on this fight. It was unbelievable.
Oh, man. We'll see. Listen, this 170 is fun right now. It's a lot of fun. We got anything else?
Oh, yeah, we got lots of stuff.
AC?
Okay.
Trying to bite about tonight, though.
Got a lot of questions about your questions. This is your chance. This is your chance, guys.
Yeah, a lot of negative. Guys, being so negative.
We got 10 minutes, people. Right. Get them in. Get them in.
I always like these questions.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out. Yeah. Yep. Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAC.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
What favorite do you feel the most confident in winning?
The lock of the night.
First of all, as usual disclaimer, there's no such thing as a lock in MMA. Let's always keep that in mind.
There absolutely is. Because I said Makhachev will be a lock over Drew Dober. I was right. And
unless
I'm one
also,
for one.
I'm also
unless Ryan Hall is fighting, there's no such thing as a lock in MMA.
I would pick Ronda Rousey over Betsko Hey 10 out of 10 times. I'm not going to lie.
There's no locks. Who knows what could have happened in that? She could have rolled her ankle five seconds into the first round. Do you guys have an obvious lock pick here?
I'm pretty confident when I pick Angela to win.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably my pick.
My locks are Angela and Leon Edwards. Those are my
locks.
Go ahead, AK.
I'll go Jourdain. I think Jourdain's gonna knock out Rojo. He's gonna bop it big time.
Ooh, the bop it. Nice.
I'm pretty confident when I say Courtney Casey and JJ Aldridge will end in a split decision, but I won't pick the winner. I'm not an option. Like Courtney Casey has been on the wrong end of split decisions a few times. Casey, you were backstage for the Michelle Waterson fight, and it was pretty torn in the back over who won that fight.
Yeah.
So if you and even we were back staying in Arizona, you were backstage for the Courtney Casey Calvillo fight too. And that was also a lot of people thought Courtney Casey won.
She pretty much loses every split decision, right? Or does she won a couple of split ones? Has she been on both sides?
She beat Angela by split. That was one of the weird.
Angela. So she's one of those fighters that, at least in my opinion, she loses the split decisions. I think she wins, and she wins the split decisions that I think she lost.
Yeah, so, she's a phenomenal fighter too. I think her record is not indicative of her skill set.
Is this the 125?
125. Okay. Yeah.
That fight is the opposite of a lock. That is a stay away. Do not put money on that.
Yeah. That's anything could happen. Courtney Casey is also part of the fight ready team, which is makes a lot of waves in the Southwest. That's Henry Cejudo's team.
That's where Eric Anders has been training for this camp as well.
Yep. Oh well, I want to shout, in relation to that, I want to shout out Jeremiah K in the comments, who says Darren Stewart is the lock of the night, which I actually think is a very strong pick as well. I am actually pretty confident Darren Stewart will win that fight. I wouldn't call it my pick, but top three, if I was to say top three fights I'm most confident about, I like Darren Stewart's chances a lot.
You mentioned Courtney Casey versus JJ Aldridge being a fight I would stay away from the betting window. Yeah. Eric Anders versus Darren Stewart I would put that at 1B as a fight to stay away from. I'm going.
That's tough, man.
I'll say Nazrat Haqparast is up on that lock list with me, even though he's going to have his hands full. I'm going to say something to you, AK, that you're not going to like. I think Marcelo Rojo is going to beat Charles Jourdain tomorrow. How about that?
You think Rojo is going to beat Charles Jourdain?
Yes, I do.
You know what? We'll talk
about
this.
There goes your lock, son.
I cannot wait to hash this out with you on to the next one on Sunday. It is going to be a very upsetting show for one of us.
I think It's not a bad pick because I think Charles Jourdain knocked out Duho Choi, right? That was his only win in the UFC. So, and I would, if they fought 10 times, I would probably favor Duho Choi 8 of those 10. This is just happens to be one of the ones. And that was also Duho Choi was coming off like a couple knockout losses or in, like he had coming off that wild fight against, what was it, the Cub Swanson. And then he got knocked dead by Stevens. And then, or I, maybe I'm flipping them around. And then he's lost to Desmond Green, Andre Fili. And then I don't remember who he fought, but he fought to a draw on Fight Island. So it might just be people remember. There you go. My people just might remember the Duho Choi knockout win. And they just think he might be better than he is. But it's not a bad, it's not a bad argument for it's a good argument for Mike's reasoning.
I'm just glad Combate America's guys are getting signed. I think Combate America's is a I lot agree. Of exciting fighters. And I know they're, I think they're both coming in on short note. Yeah, I said they're both coming. Yeah. They're both coming in on as replacements. So either way, glad they're getting a shot. Hopefully more guys in that promotion and ladies will get signed soon.
It should be a fun fight. Like I didn't like Rojo against Hayony Barcelos by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
I do like the way he matches up with Charles Jourdain.
Is Barcelos, did he get a fight yet? Is he get rebooked? Man, I think that man is really good at fighting, and I'm excited to see him back. I'm really bummed. What was the fight he was scheduled for, and then he got?
Was he supposed to fight Mirab at one point?
Maybe that was it. Yeah,
he stepped in after after Stamen was forced to withdraw. Barcelos was going to step in like 3 weeks' notice, but his medical suspension would have like ran into that, so he couldn't fight.
Yeah. Because Merab actually asked for that fight because Barcelos won and then he had that long win streak and Merab's like, I'll fight that guy just because I want to stay on the card. And Hani was like, yeah, let's do it. So shout out to both guys. That's a dangerous fight for Merab too.
For sure.
What was that question about Jonathan Martinez?
Right here.
Does he have the potential of cracking top 15? Although he has had weight problems in the past, his wins are super impressive. His last one was against Almeida, who will be fighting Sean O'Malley next. So, Jose, let me ask you. I mean, you're a Jonathan Martinez fan. I've been calling him for since the regional scene, the silence behind the violence. Here we are. Gets a matchup again tomorrow. He gets back in there. He made weight, which is always a good thing. What are your thoughts on Martinez potentially being a top 15 guy?
I think it's hard to say. He could top 15. Clearly, he could be top 15. Whether he wants, he could be top five is another story. Just because this weight class is so stacked, but I don't like the Frankie Saenz win. Just left a bad taste in my mouth because he missed weight by what, 5 pounds, something like that, six pounds. Yeah, and he beat Frankie Saenz really badly, and to the point where he was like inside the octagon, being like, "Don't get up." He was telling Frankie Saenz not to stand up anymore because he was beating him so bad. And I was like, "Dude, you just missed weight." Like, come, and it was just unfortunate. And then but at the flip side, Casey, you were at the fight too with me. I think he beat Andre Ewell in Houston.
I agree.
That was one of those.
It was a super competitive fight, but I thought he won.
It was super competitive fight, but that night had so many wonky decisions. I just think that might have got lost in the shuffle because it was on the prelim. So he could be on a five fight. I think he should be on a five fight win streak, but that one missed weight kind of bums me out. But yeah, I mean, he just beat Thomas Almeida pretty handedly. It was a good fight, but he clearly won. I don't think there's argument against it. And if he had the flash of Sean O'Malley, then we could be talking about Jonathan Martinez, but I don't want Jonathan Martinez to change ever. I think his post-fight interviews are awesome. Top five might be hard, but top 15, 100%.
Anybody else?
At the end near the end of 2022, we're going to see Ryan Hall and Jonathan Martinez fighting for the UFC featherweight belt. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. Can you imagine the hype, Ryan Hall?
I think he will move up eventually.
There's also Jonathan Martinez is a bantamweight.
He'll go up in weight.
Yeah.
Oh.
He might have to eventually.
I think he'll go up in weight eventually.
He did miss. Well, and that's the thing is, I think the more like the really.
That's what I'm worried about, actually. That's what I'm actually worried about. I want to see his performance at 35. I think. I don't like him at 30. I think he'd be better at 45, but we'll see.
I do think he has the potential to be top 15 as anyone around his age does with his talent. But I will say, I think a more intriguing question is, will he be in the top 15 by like the end of the year or like by, let's say, even within 12 months? I'll say no, And that's only because of the depth of the bantamweight division. To make Tough 15, again, he has to go over guys like O'Malley, which, again, I don't know. Maybe some people, like they said, he beat Almeida. O'Malley's fighting Almeida. Maybe people already put him ahead of O'Malley. I'm not sure. But that's a name ahead of him. Mirab, Ricky Simone, Marlon Chito Vera. And then, I'm talking about guys, again, this is like 10 to 15, 10 to 20 range. So he has to leapfrog those guys, again, by the end of this year or you know, within 12 months. I don't see it happening. It's just such a strong division. Nathaniel Woods in there. Saeed Nurmagomedov. Again, these are people who are not, by the way, like in the top 15, top 20 yet. So he has to get over them. Best so yeah, I think he has the talent. It's an amazing division. So he has the talent. It's just this particular division, it's really hard to get in the top 15 right now. I think at this moment, it can be really difficult. Some people have to retire. Dominic Cruz will have to retire. Maybe that'll Jose Aldo, that'll free up some space. But if they don't retire, I haven't bumped those guys out of the top 15 yet.
135 is so loaded.
It's insane. It's insane. Yeah. your favorite is out there somewhere looking for a fight still. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
TJ Dillashaw's
back, right? Yeah, TJ Dillashaw is not even in my rankings right now. So he immediately jumps in.
Oh, yeah. How does that work in rankings? Like, do we not rank him until he steps into the cage and throws the first punch, or as soon as he's booked, we can rank him?
They usually they usually put people back in rankings once they sign a contract.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The UFC's rules or whatever, mm-hmm. or they're having contract negotiations.
So yeah. So John Cena, super talented guy, but yeah, top 15 in this division, really tough.
I loved Rob Font's idea on what the heck of building a bantamweight supercard in May, like headline it with Jan versus Sterling, and then do Dillashaw versus Sandhagen, do Font versus Garbrandt, and just load up the whole card with bantamweights. Obviously, there's reports that Tony Ferguson is fighting Beneil Dariush, so you could throw that on there, but just load it up with like bantamweight fights the whole way. I love that idea.
Yeah, you just get that scale, you put it on 136, and you just step away. You know, it's a weighing's going to be easy. Yeah.
I have a feeling we're going to get a non-title fight in the lightweight division headline that May pay-per-view. So, might be an issue.
Are we talking? It could happen, but it's kind of go or get off the pot time. We're what, 8 weeks away? If that fight, which I believe you were speaking of, does not get booked soon, I don't know if it happens, and you could do it in July.
I think there's a reason Dana White is doing interviews and bringing up a certain Irishman right now.
The comeback of Cathal Pendred. Nice.
Yeah. Well,
Paddy Pimblett.
Are either of those men lightweights?
Nah, they, whatever.
Oh. Joe Duffy.
Joe Duffy's coming out of retirement. Yes.
Paddy Pimblett's also not Irish.
Doesn't.
How dare you, sir?
We'll get PT on here.
You're Chirish and you're getting it confused?
I am Chirish.
Are you Chirish?
You didn't know this? I'm Chirish. Yeah.
I feel like you're a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
He's Chirish and I'm a Hispanic Celt. That's like the big thing. When we did A-side with Pizzi, it was three Irish journalists.
Yeah.
I guess you live in Houston, but also, where else are you again?
I was raised in Mississippi.
Yeah. Mississippi Delta. And I'm like, what?
Oh, God, Google Chinese immigrants in Mississippi Delta. It's a whole thing.
Oh
yeah, and go see Minari too. Minari's great. It's also about Asian immigrants coming to America.
Done and done.
Yeah, I think we're good on. I think we're good. Yeah. You know what? I think we're ready for.
What are we ready for?
Oh yes.
That's right, everybody. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Watch. Men and women get in the octagon and punch each other in the face.
For money.
and money. Pre-fight Q&A.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Pre-fight Q&A, 4:30 Eastern time, at least as it stands right now, unless something
not good happens.
Bizarre happens along the way. But
thank you to Hamza for dropping off my books.
What a good guy.
He's not fighting this weekend, so you know he's got time.
Yeah, so he's delivering giant box omnibuses. Thank you to Hamza Shamayev.
Big shout out to Hamzat Shamayev and all of you for watching right now. We're getting out of here. For Jose, AK, EKC Lydon, I am Mike Hack. We'll see you tomorrow night, everybody. Happy birthday to the Prince of Positivity.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.